Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyne.
And I'm Bonnie North. British filmmaker Ben Caird has Wisconsin street cred, and it shows through in his new movie, his first feature film, Halfway. The film takes place and was filmed in Montfort, Wisconsin.
The film focuses on a central character, Byron Smith, an African-American man just released from prison onto parole, who's given a chance to work on his stepbrother's dairy farm. Much of the film deals with Smith's acclimation to both life on parole and rural life. Part of that rural life involves milking cows, carrying feed, and also navigating the sometimes tense relationship with townspeople and his parole officer.
Caird's mother is originally from Brown Deer, and he still has family all over southeastern Wisconsin. Key parts of the movie were filmed on Caird's relative's 400-acre dairy farm, which is located in the Iowa Grant County area. He spoke with Lake Effect's Mayon Silver and explained what inspired the story.
So originally I'd written the film about an English kid who came to get to know his American family. I moved to America about 5 years ago with a version of Halfway, an early version of Halfway. And when I moved to America, I thought, actually, it would be more interesting to make this an entirely an American film. Being a Londoner, I kind of tried to write myself, my experience into this film I was creating. And when I moved to America, I thought, no, it's much better if it's an entirely American film. But what I was interested in was still this idea of bringing a sort of an outsider to a farm town. I thought setting a film, as I said, on a farm would be really interesting. Farms aren't shown often in cinema, and I had access to a fantastic one. And the outsider element, I was playing with different ideas, and the film's not really about race, but clearly that comes in when Byron, the character Byron, is a black man. So that, as the outsider element, was the kind of the sort of segue from what the film originally was. And then I started playing with the idea of him. How would you have? There aren't many black people in that part of Wisconsin. There are many black people in Wisconsin, but not in the really rural towns. You sort of throw those ingredients together. How would he be there? Well, you know, it's kind of a strange job to do. Farms tend to be worked on by either people that own the farms or often sort of outside of town workers, very often Latino outside of town workers in Wisconsin, not many black people. And I sort of wanted to try and work out how I could get a black guy onto a farm. So him taking a sort of quite strange opportunity on probation that's set up by his family was sort of a way to get him there. So yeah, kind of working backwards and throwing together a bunch of different ingredients to try and work out how to kind of set. In essence, it's sort of a family drama. He is black and they are white, and that plays a role in places, but it's not really a film that is based on race. It's much more a commentary on the sort of broken incarceration system and how a person is walking the tightrope of the sort of thin ice of that situation.
So what were some of the efforts that you took to connect with that type of character? Presumably, well, you're not African American. Presumably, you haven't been out on parole at any point. You don't have to answer that, but that's fine. But how did you, what were some of the efforts and some of the ways that you were able to connect on a personal level with a character like that?
I mean, I obviously did as much research as I could. I haven't been on parole myself. I know people. Britain isn't that different to America. I know people in the UK who have been to prison and have then come out in a relatively similar sort of situation. The structure and the chaos that is going on with the broken incarceration system in America is quite easily readable about. So how to make it entirely American, a little bit of research can go quite a long way in speaking to a few people. In essence, the details of exactly what it is he did and how it is he's on probation aren't really sort of gone into that much, because I sort of wasn't trying to tell a sob story about a guy who, you know, was in prison for the wrong reasons and all that sort of thing. It's much more the idea that you can tell just from being with this guy that he's not a bad guy, and that his previous sort of transgressions, whatever they were, shouldn't really be defining him in the way what the audience is experiencing him during the film. As the writer, your sort of job is to feel compassion for any characters it is that you're writing. I think it's not that difficult to try and work out how you can make that real. I would speak to as many people as I can and research like that, but ultimately you sort of fall on your own instincts as a writer and how you, or for me, how I made him believable and hopefully truthful to that sort of situation.
Well, and one of the things in the movie that I found really believable and really able to identify with was you paint in the film that he really is trying to do his best. He's trying to stay squeaky clean. He's trying to milk the cows. He's trying to get into this life. And there are occasions where he is accused of things that it seems very clearly that he didn't do, but he's had this burden that he's been carrying of two strikes against him in this town, being black and having had a conviction. How did you connect with those scenes and try to bring that out in the story?
My family being from that part of the world, I didn't want to write a story where the white people were the bad people and make a film that my family, many of whom helped out a huge amount on the film. One of my cousins is a producer on the film. My other cousins, she moved out of her house for us to move in and shoot the interiors of the house. And I didn't want to make a movie that felt like it was accusing them of anything and farmers who are very hardworking, very kind people. So it wasn't going to be as simple as just sort of, lack of a better phrase, black and white and good and evil and those kind of things. It's that isn't really the reality, it's grays. And I think that the problem you have with, say, the situation that Byron was in is, yeah, his past was, and the fact he was black, I guess, it was sort of some of the strikes against him, as you said, but none of the interactions that anyone have with him should have him being judged in the way that he's being judged. I mean, the real character that you see, the journey of that is his best friend in the film, a character called Paulie, who in the beginning of the film is telling him, when he's sent on to take his probation in this place, that it's really great for him to have this opportunity and he should embrace it. And Byron is thinking that it's not going to be a great place for him to be. And that character starts off very, very hopeful and telling him that, you know, he should take this opportunity and he should keep himself squeaky clean. And then we see through the sort of degradation of that character falling back into the lifestyle because he has no other way. He loses his job because he's accused of stealing tools in his job, which he didn't do, but he has the strikes against him as well. So he's you know, his contract in reality would have been an at-will contract, so he would have been terminated, and then he doesn't have a job. So how does he, a guy, a felon, who when he would go through a formal application for a job, he'd be ticking the felony box, previous incarceration, how do you get a job? Well, you don't. Maybe you have a family. Maybe how are you going to make ends meet? Well, you do it any way you can. So the way we see that character fall apart alongside Byron, and he's initially strong for Byron, and then he starts to fall away. He's kind of the real manifestation of the problem. And you can have all the hope in the world, but if you can't get a job, what are you supposed to do?
And the opening of the film, you know, is very much touches on that point with the Robert Frost poem that you open up the movie with. Can you tell us that poem? Do you know it by heart, or
I don't know the entire poem by heart, but it talks about promises to have been kept, and the film is set in the woods. So the woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep and miles to go before I sleep. You then open, you have a Robert Frost poem, and then you then open on a large black man being released from prison. I think it sort of sets the juxtaposition of the way that the story is going to go. And I thought that using the Robert Frost poem was quite a nice way to, in the very, very opening 30 seconds of an audience's experience, kind of create a bit of an arresting moment.
And then the cinematography or the shooting of basically he's walking with the back of his head and you can see the back of his head. He starts walking out of the prison and he's carrying a box and presumably it's symbolic. You know, he's not just carrying out his property, but what else is he carrying? You know, how did you use cinematography to convey the symbolism and the connection in that movie?
Yeah, actors don't just come with their face. They come with their physicality. They come with their voice. They come with all of the range of what it is you're going to put on film. But with Quentin Aaron, he's a huge guy. He's 6'8", an enormous, heavy-set guy as well. There were a lot of things that I was able to do. I'm in his face a lot because he has an amazing face, and he says so much through very, very small inflections in his eyes and his looks. And you really feel that. The whole point of this film is that you feel for him. But with Quentin and audiences that have experienced, you know, his most well-known film, The Blind Side, you can get further back from him and show him still because he's so big. He's such a force of nature. He's kind of, it's sort of gravitational. You put the camera on him and he's so much bigger than anything else in the film. I was able to do things with the camera where it still feels incredibly intimate even when you're quite far away from him. It also helps that my camera operator is about my height. He's about 6 foot tall. So whenever you're walking around following a guy, the camera's looking up at him. That's a consideration. We could have found someone taller. We could have had the camera on higher up on a different type of rig, but we wanted that idea that you're looking up at him always, because that is the kind of experience. And I mean, really is just sort of poetically suggesting even more of the completely ridiculous sort of fear of a black man. And if you choose an enormous black man, you're kind of inviting people to be even more scared of nothing. So yeah, I mean, just working with a guy as big as Quentin, we got to play a lot with the way that we put him in rooms and put him in spaces, and the way that the color palette of the movie is very neutral throughout as well. So he's entirely, he's not standing out from his background, he is engaged entirely. A lot of the film, I think my director of photography did an amazing job. It sort of looks like a painting, and the character is sitting entirely within. He's not kind of popping out. But yeah, that's sort of some of the...
And using actually the Wisconsin scenery of the farms and the area, it really plays a role. There's really kind of a juxtaposition between someone coming in without that background and then... the sort of life that's presented in the film. How were there any particular stories about shooting within the town there? Was there anything funny that happened or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, just even filming with animals. I mean, people think cows are really stupid, but they're actually not. They're quite intelligent, and they're also creatures of habit. So once they were quite scared of Quentin in the beginning, just like they were scared of any of the people around. But then once he had spent some time with the baby calves and spent some time with the larger cows, some of the scenes we did, we would be shooting scenes with him in a field, and all of a sudden the cow that he'd spent 5 minutes with the day before would just sort of appear and be back with Quentin, be back with his friend. So working with animals is can be tricky. It really takes the sort of commitment of the actors to be able to embrace themselves entirely with that. We really worked hard with the actors. Amy Peets, who's actually from Milwaukee herself, who plays the mother in the film, she has family that have a farm as well, and she we had to teach her to look like a farmer. So when she was teaching Quentin chores, he looked rubbish at it in comparison to her. That's really important. Audiences for this film know how to farm as well, so we can't have an actor who looked terrible doing it. We had to work with her to make her look really good. And Quentin gets better at the chores. He was having to act like he was much worse at these things than he actually was, because we had to get him good at them so that he could know how to do them. But so that was really interesting, working in a farm. But the town itself as well, in Montford, we shot a lot of the scenes in some quite well-known little businesses. There's an ice cream parlor there called Grab a Cone, which people know. They're driving through that part of the world. It's quite well-known. They let us shoot in there. We shot in the probation office is kind of in the old bank, medical office right in downtown. We shot in the old hardware store that's right in downtown. People kind of just open their doors to let us come and shoot. So you can't really make a little movie like, you know, we did without the goodwill of people to come and help. So being in the Midwest, being in southern Wisconsin, you really get that. Everyone wants to help, and everyone wants to be to anything they can. And if they can't help you with the thing that you need, they know someone, they suggest someone else that can come and help. I think one day a school bus went past and they knew that we were there, and it was every single head out the window looking at the guy from the blind side. And we had scenes where we were going in and out of a store. Quentin had to come in the door, and the camera and all the crew were inside. And we'd make Quint, I'd give him a note, and he'd go back outside, and we'd set up the shot again, and cameras would be rolling, and I'd call action, and Quentin didn't come in the door. So I called action out again, Quentin didn't come in the door, and popped my head outside, and there's a line of like 20 people with their babies, with their kids. Like, Quentin's holding a baby and he's like taking a photo, and you know, people wanted to come and see Quentin and be involved, and he's so generous with his time. He would never think of not staying for that photo or to talk to someone. So yeah, it was really great to have that kind of an impact on the town on us, and then I think people really enjoyed having the film coming through as well.
A little bit of Hollywood in Wisconsin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And on that note, I wanted to ask you, Beth is the woman, Amy Peets?
Amy Peetz.
Yeah, so her character is Beth, and she's the woman that runs the farm that, that Byron is helping on. She has quite an accent, I have to say. Do we talk like that in Wisconsin?
I mean, she's from Wisconsin, so I mean,
she is?
She's from Wisconsin, so I didn't give her any notes on giving her accent like that.
Was she adding on to it, or is that how she talks?
No, she lives in Los Angeles now, so she speaks in a much more sort of like neutral American accent. But yeah, she was probably turning, you know, getting back into Wisconsin. But yeah, I mean, she didn't have to go and practice. She was,
right. And then in terms of someone who goes and sees this movie, and what do you hope that they get out of it in terms of how they relate to the story and to how everything unfolds?
I mean, I wouldn't really try and tell you that there's a certain way you should feel about it. I think it's quite a compelling, heartwarming drama. I think that it's a family drama where you see the humanity in people. It's not a hard movie about the broken incarceration system. That's just kind of the culture that the drama unfolds within. But, you know, I think it's funny. I think there are like quite a few like laugh out loud moments in it, and you know, I think that you've got kind of all of the different. The film sort of turns thriller, so it does have that kind of heart racing things as we get into the movie. But I wouldn't sort of tell people that they should come in, and I don't think it's sort of a dogmatic finger waving movie at all. I think people should just be able to come and enjoy a movie. I guess it's a bit more of an indie movie than a lot of people in the part of the world where we shot it would normally go and see. They don't have, you know, that type of access to movies like that. But a lot of people who maybe the only movies that they would go and see would be sort of blockbusters from the area have watched it, and they don't maybe sort of understand that a little indie movie can still plays all the traits of bigger movies. You try and be compelling and get a drama in and make people feel like they've seen something worth their time at the end of 100 minutes.
Ben Caird, thanks so much for coming and talking about the film. Thanks for making it.
Thank you very much for having me.
Filmmaker Ben Caird spoke with Lake Effect Mayan Silver. The film Halfway has one more screening at the Milwaukee Film Festival next Tuesday night at the Downer Theater.